WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, hello everyone here at Student Section MLB. Welcome to the show. I'm of course your host Carson Keel, joined by
Luke Anderson
and Tyler Harrison.
And what exactly do we want to start with talking about, guys? This has been a bit of a busy week, I think, in the world of baseball. Tampa Bay, new stadium, relocation is now basically off the table. There's this whole Shohei Ohtani thing. That's not a big deal, right, guys? And then, of course, we have MLB playoff implications are basically changing every single day. So let's get right into it. I think let's start off with the biggest story of the week, of course, and that is Shohei Ohtani has basically left the Angels at this moment and has gotten surgery. I mean, let's start off with how the news kind of broke. It was late Friday night here in Alabama. It was about, I think, 9 in California. And then, basically, it was one of the Angels beat reporters basically said, Shohei Ohtani's locker has been cleared out. That's all we knew. Supposedly, there was going to be a press conference on Saturday. Now, maybe I missed it completely somehow. Did that press conference ever happen?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So that was extremely weird. And then, basically, the statements put out about a couple days later. Very selective statement, very clearly. It basically states, I am having elbow surgery. It happened. There you go. Now, let's be honest. When everyone thinks elbow surgery, what do we think?
Tommy John? I mean,
definitely Tommy John.
It was Tommy John. Let's be honest with ourselves here. But there's clearly a reason he is not saying why, because, of course, he is going to be getting the bag next spring, so or even this winter. So a lot that's going to be kind of important for him. So let's go and talk. Let's just talk about, start off with the Friday events. Again, very late here. I saw it basically before going to bed. What was your reaction? I thought basically he went rogue personally before finding out the and medical information. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have any idea of what was really happening with him when he cleared out his locker. I mean, it's very clear that, I mean, it's not clear that he doesn't want to play for the Angels, but I think it's in his best interest that he doesn't play for the Angels or re-sign with them in the offseason in the interest of him winning games, because he has the potential to win a lot of baseball games on a team that's not the Angels. So it has been reported that he probably won't re-sign there. So it makes sense for him to clear out his things, but I mean, in wake of his injury and him not being able to pitch anymore, but he was still in their lineup hitting, and he still was hitting before the surgery. So, I mean, he still was seeing time on the field for the Angels. So it was kind of shocking to see that report that he kind of wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Tyler?
Along with the news of Mike Trout, also the Angels organization being open to trading him, I feel sorry for all Angels fans, first of all. But while I was finishing up second load of laundry on Friday evening and I saw Ohtani's locker be cleared out, the immediate thought that I had was, what team is looking into trying to get with him, and what teams are in contention? How would that change playoffs in the future? Not for this season, obviously, because the Angels aren't making it.
I think they've been
officially eliminated.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah. But no, just trying to go through the mind, like going through the thoughts of where Ohtani could end up and what kind of contract he's going to get, especially depending on when he could come back to pitching, whether it be playoffs next year or definitely waiting until 2025, because he's still an all-star hitter. He still had 40-plus home runs. I think he's still, right now, top three RBIs in the AL.
Yeah, he's leading in a lot of stats for hitting in the AL and pitching, too. I mean, it's just really sad, this injury and the surgery he had. I saw a report that he'll be back to hitting in the lineup next year, but it's likely he won't be pitching until 2025. So that's just really sad to see for him. Obviously, he's one of the better pitchers in the league, and that's even regardless of his, like, stellar ability at the plate. He is just one of the better pitchers in the league. And obviously that was going to contribute a lot to wherever he goes in the offseason. I mean, even with – he's still going to pitch 2 years from now, and there's no doubt he's still going to be an all-star pitcher. So he's still going to make probably one of the biggest contracts we'll ever see in MLB offseason history. But this surgery that he had is going to take some money off of that and maybe some years off of it too, which is the big part. Obviously, Ohtani had the potential to be signed even for like double-digit years definitely because he has a long – history of pitching. He'll be pitching deep in his career, and even when he can't pitch anymore, he'll be hitting. So, but now after this injury, the time that he might be able to pitch might be a lot more limited now. So it's just going to be interesting to see how that affects his contract. Obviously, we'll never know what teams are going to offer him before this, but and he'll still receive a really large contract, but we'll have to see.
What was really going through my mind especially was someone as big a name as Shohei and as much money as he's worth, a team like the Athletics or any other no-name, like the Rockies, they're not going to get him. No matter how much they put into it, they're not going to end up with Ohtani. So I'm thinking of big names, and what hurts my soul to say, shout out to Luke, I hope he's feeling better from that stomach bug he's dealing with. I think the Yankees, with that short right field porch and the pitching that they absolutely need, I think Ohtani has a unfortunately great chance of ending up as a Yankee, especially – well, hitting or pitching-wise, the Yankees would especially want a ace pitcher next year, considering their pickup with Carlos Rodon has not ended up how they wanted.
Exactly.
But and they also have no left-handed hitters in their lineup. I mean, they have, I think, two switch hitters and Anthony Rizzo with that short right field wall. They need to start taking advantage of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Ohtani could probably hit 55, 60 home runs with something like that next year. And then if the Yankees go all in trying to recruit someone like Yoshinobu Yamamoto in Japan, that can give them an absolutely amazing pitcher. And then when Ohtani's back to full health, then the Yankees have a chance of starting yet another part of their dynasty through all of baseball.
Well, here's the problem when you say for Ohtani. Here's my response with her being a Yankee. Atlanta Brave, let's go!
yes, I completely agree. That would be amazing.
But in reality, I mean, I mean, there's been reports that maybe he's interested in Boston. I think that might be some fan fiction created by Boston fans. I seriously, like when you go look at the report, it's basically fan blogs that are saying it. So, otherwise, it's gonna be interesting. I mean, I think he's definitely gonna want to go to a win now kind of team, and I think that's gonna be understandable. I mean, again, he's probably not going to have the world's longest career because of how he plays the game. So if he goes ring chasing with this contract, I get it. You know, I don't think anyone will blame him. So that's kind of the one thing. Though I just want to say just how sudden this was. I mean, can we talk about that? Like it was just Friday. Oh, yeah, his locker's cleared out. Like, I wonder how much contact him and his, you know, I guess you say handling group kind of did this because, I mean, it sounded like basically the players were kind of taken aback by it also from how they were talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that obviously Shohei Ohtani has seemed to love the organization and love the city of Los Angeles and the team despite the team's lack of success around him. He seemed to love being a member of the team, so it was kind of sudden, like I said, especially how he was playing games up until this point when he was about to get the surgery. So it is shocking to see him leave so suddenly. But as I said, I think that it's the right move for him because he really shouldn't play another game in an Angels uniform if he's not going to play the rest of the season. I don't think he should sign any sort of deal with them in the future. So this move makes sense. Obviously, it being so sudden, it kind of seems like, whoa, what happened? Is he in arms with the organization or anything? I don't think that's the case after the reports now especially, but it is definitely surprising, especially the sudden report itself. Tyler?
Looking on Instagram, looking at his last post about how he just announced to everyone, hey, I had a procedure done on my elbow. Of course, not naming any surgery because the words Tommy John can take millions of dollars off of a contract, even if you're someone as, I say, future Hall of Fame worthy as Shohei. But I also, you could also conspire and say, oh, he didn't say I'm looking forward to be back with the team next year. I'm looking to be back on the diamond stronger than ever. Just small takes here or there, but no, just completely agreed, Luke. I feel bad for Shohei because at the beginning of the year, people were saying going into free agency, he could be a 11-year, billion-dollar contract player. Then everyone kind of got into normality of it, and still astonishing that the normality of that is he could have been a $700 million player for a decade. But now what I'm thinking predictions-wise, I think he's still getting well over 500 mil. I think he's getting like 570 for, I want to say like 8 or 9 years.
I think something around there too.
Mm, yeah, that's going to be a very fair kind of statement. So I guess final thoughts, Luke, go ahead on this situation.
I mean, just basing it on what team I think he's going to go to, I think in the National League, first of all, I think any team is silly not to enter the bidding race for Ohtani. He's an all-star player, never before seen talent. Any team should want to at least try take a stab.
Oakland A's legend, Shohei Ohtani.
So even as little as Oakland could offer, I feel like they should at least make an effort. But at least in the National League, I think the easy answer in general, going in the National League specifically, he's very familiar with the city. It's a team that doesn't have any fear throwing money around. I honestly think that Ohtani is going to be a Dodger. Other teams in the National League, I would love for him to be on the Mets, obviously. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Mets should focus more on Yamamoto, especially because they need pitching now, and Ohtani can't pitch now, sadly, because of the injury. In terms of American League teams that might get him, I actually was going to say the Red Sox, Carson, before. I didn't hear any of the reports that you were talking about, but I think a sneaky team that could get Ohtani could be the Red Sox. Their window is opening now. They have a lot of young talent, and anyone could use someone like Ohtani, but I feel like he fits their team well. And I think any team, whatever team ends up winning the AL pennant, is probably another favorite to get Ohtani if they need one more piece to win or start a dynasty. At least obviously Ohtani's that piece.
All right, we kind of gone around this. I don't think Boston's going to be back in the window anytime soon after the news this week with Jane Bloom. So, yeah. Tyler, but I guess your thoughts on this?
I'll kind of go the same route that Luke went about who may could or could not get him in the NL and AL. Obviously, Carson, I know you'd agree. Mm-hmm. If he ended up in Atlanta, we would treat him absolutely amazing.
Better than Angels fans.
Absolutely. Our organization's probably better than Angels as well. No hate. But no, I completely agree with Luke. I think the Red Sox, with a lot of young talent, could easily be runners for Ohtani, even if they're not contenders right now. Because with up-and-coming stars like Tristan Casas and Masataka Yoshida, I mean, first of all, that connection between Yoshida and Ohtani would be amazing. Kind of off topic, but with the Mets and the NL, I think with them trying to focus on pitching, if for whatever reason a team that can throw around money like the Mets, if they were to somehow get the three Team Japan players being Kodai Senga, Yamamoto, and Ohtani, mm-hmm. I think that's on the same level as like prime Strider, Fried, and and Charlie Morton,
the prime
or like
Braves
the '90s Braves,
probably. Oh God,
or like
something
like,
comparable,
like the early
obviously,
'70s Orioles.
Billy Epler's connection with Shohei runs deep too. He signed him on the Angels, so I think the Mets do have some chance. Obviously, they've thrown around a lot of money unsuccessfully. Successfully, so maybe they'll be more cautious. But I wouldn't be surprised if Shohei's in Queens. I would be ecstatic. So
you did give a Cy Young winner back to the team that he won the Cy Young with.
It's true.
All right. Well, I guess, Lynn, let's go ahead and talk about kind of the other big news story. We'll probably split this up into the next segment because we have 5 minutes left in this first segment of the show. But the Tampa Bay Rays have been the speculation of relocation for over a decade now. I mean, it's been, what, since 2015, the rumors that they're going to move out?
I think it's been 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
Tropicana Field has been someplace that they don't want to host any All-Star games there because it's pretty crap as a stadium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, fun fact, just to show you guys how old Tropicana Field is. It was originally built in like the early late in the 80s, early 90s, and it hosted the Tampa Bay Lightning before the Rays. That's right. It hosted the Lightning before it hosted the Rays. So just saying. But then you have all that. Very old stadium. That's it's a prime case of you did this good excuse for the stadium. It's like Oakland. And you have that. I mean, remember it was then going to be the Montreal Tampa Bay Rays. There was like people thinking like it's going to be, oh, they'll make the excuse. It's like the Snow Rays. There you go. That was very quickly mocked and laughed away. But now we do have, it's not Tampa Bay technically, it's St. Petersburg still, but it's going to be downtown St. Petersburg. Thoughts on now a one relocation, you know, target is now kind of wiped away from the slate when it comes to Tampa Bay?
I mean, I think it's great for Tampa Bay. Obviously, you brought up the Lightning, and in general, Tampa Bay has had a lot of recent success in sports. Mm-hmm. The Lightning winning back-to-back cups not too long ago.
Buccaneers.
And the Buccaneers had Tom Brady. They won a Super Bowl, and they're 2-0 right now. I don't know how far they'll go, but that's for a different show. But Tampa Bay has been a good sports city very recently, and the Rays, as a baseball team, have been a very good baseball team very recently. So it would be sad to see a team with such recent success experience a move. We talked about in the past couple shows what a move from Baltimore would be like for the Orioles, especially with their window open and how good they are right now. It would be really sad to see a team with recent success have to just upright move. I feel like that would stunt a lot of their success and kill a lot of momentum they had. So this extension of, or basically the new stadium that will be in Tampa Bay, meaning that they won't move, is great to hear, and now the city can kind of join around the team, and the team can just be a staple of the city now, especially with their success.
Right.
I completely agree. I kind of like comparing it to how the Oakland A's have been. I mean, obviously, their relocation is all but set as of right now, and you can blame it on the fans or the players all you want, but it's all about, for the A's at least, it's about management, how the fans hosted that reverse boycott, and just the kind of connection you have with the hometown that you've been in for so long. It takes decades to get back to that kind of level for a team. And I think if the Rays, luckily they're not moving very far, if anything, if they were to be relocated, like how Orioles speculations are moving around, Baltimore fans have waited. Their team lost 114 games like 6 years ago, and fans have pushed through that. And now they are, I think, in the top three favorites to win the World Series. Rays the same way. I think they're in the top six. Mm-hmm. And you can't build up a fan base that supports a team as much as fan bases in baseball do, especially if you relocate. Yeah. So I think it is awesome for Tampa Bay fans that they don't really have to worry about any relocation for the next couple of decades. Orioles, I'm hoping for the same. I hope they can just get some stadium renovations and maybe fix that weird old left field wall. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I mean, that's about all the thoughts I have on Tampa Bay.
I guess my final thoughts is, as we kind of wrap up this segment, one, again, glad to see it's the team staying. Good to see Miami. They would have been in a weird place, especially you seriously think about it, when it comes to the Southeast. I'm someone who doesn't like to count Florida Southeast. It Florida's its own thing. That's just my opinion. But I mean, seriously, it would have been just Miami and then Atlanta for a huge region of the United States, and that would be it probably. Of course, Nashville's probably going to be a thing now, probably by the end of the decade. But still, yeah, it's so much stuff where it's like, You're glad to see this. And two, finally, this was long enough. This probably should have been announced in like 2019. Let's be perfectly honest.
Absolutely.
This took way too long.
Yeah.
You got to deal with politicians and bureaucrats. So that probably played a part in it. But let's go ahead and talk about, for our next segment, we have to talk about a little bit more of the Chain Bloom stuff when it comes to the Red Sox. That's been an interesting story. Then we also got to talk about MLB playoffs. We are quickly wrapping up the season, and that means more teams are eliminated, more teams are coming into the playoffs, and we'll talk about that and more next segment.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome back, everybody, to Student Section. We'll be here, of course, on WVUA 90.7, The Capstone. I'm your host, Carson Keel, joined by
Luke Anderson
and Tyler Harrison.
So, Lynn, let's kind of get into it. Let's talk about the Chain Bloom stuff. Sorry, just had to check something real quick. But, man, That was a bit of a shock firing, if I had to say so myself. Luke, you forgot it even happened.
Yeah, exactly. It was so, it was so sudden. I just forgot it happened. And the Red Sox, like I said before, I said their window's open and they seem like a good young team that can be good in the future. And whoops, they fire their general manager. So, Carson?
Yeah, I thought he would have another year. I thought it was just, I was going to be like, it's, they're going to let him get, it's another year. If they make the playoffs, they'll let him stay. If not, perfectly fine. That's probably understandable. He's been there since 2019. Makes sense. I did not expect it to happen this quick and this suddenly and this so early into the, like, I won't say early, but like before even the season ended.
Yeah.
Where they, right. Maybe they can make a switch over for offseason and stuff like that. They were ready to go.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of added on to it. I mean, people like Jeff Passan, like, there was, like, I don't know, maybe this is weird to me, but like, baseball media was really aggressive to Red Sox ownership about, like, I don't know if Jeff deleted this way, I'm trying to find it, but like, it was like weird. Like, you can figure out who's often a source when it comes to when people get fired. And this was, man. Oh, yeah, here we go. Hang on. This is from Jeff Passan. Over the 15-year stretch during which they won the 4 World Series, here were the Boston Red Sox payroll ranks in those years: second, third, first. Over the last 4 years, they have been under the CBT 3 times, and their payroll this year is only 11th. But it was the GM's fault. I mean, like very weird circumstances, I guess you can say, in regards to how people are feeling about this. I mean, Tyler, what's your thoughts? I know we're Braves fans, but this is felt like a very weird reaction throughout the baseball world.
I feel bad for Red Sox fans. People can say all they want about Boston itself, but I've never had negative experiences with Boston. I've never had a loathing for Boston when we play them. And being that they won a World Series in 2019, won the World Series in 2018, made the playoffs back in 2019. 2020 is kind of up and down for everybody. I don't know if anyone wants to remember it. And then the ALCS in 2021, I wouldn't fire. Like, I just wouldn't fire the general manager for a year where your ace starting pitcher, Chris Sale, gets 8 injuries, especially one where he falls off the bicycle. That's just a bad year for Boston. And this year they have a Rookie of the Year candidate in Yoshida. They have Brayan Bayo, who is a up-and-coming starting pitcher. They've got Tristan Casas, who I think is leading the league in home run. He was leading the league in home runs after the All-Star break for almost 2 months and barely got talked about. So firing the general manager during a time where they may not be in a rebuild, but they're in a state where a couple years and they could be serious contenders, I completely understand why Boston fans would have a very negative reaction to it, because I feel bad for them, because still a bad not a great year for them, but that's not to say they won't have a great year coming up in the near future.
Yeah, Tyler, I'd have to agree with you pretty much exactly on your point. I think, and you even brought up that the Red Sox are kind of in a rebuild, but I'd say even with how well their young talent is performing right now, they're even, like, closing their rebuild. They had, like, a 2-year rebuild, and I feel like they could be back in contention next year. So I feel like it's very sudden. I understand, and Carson mentioned this point before, if they want to fire him now so they can hire a new general manager to start the offseason and then have him make the offseason moves, I guess that is the right move. But I would have thought they would have given him one more year, especially with – they should have playoff hopes for next season. I know they're in a very, very strong AL East division, so – but they should still have playoff hopes for next season. So I would have liked for them to – give him a chance to start the next season. Kind of like what we talked about last week, Carson, with my thoughts on Buck Showalter coming back for the Mets. I would have given him the same exact window, maybe the first couple months of the season, and if they get back to another disappointing start, that's when you pull the cord on that. But if they do want just a fresh start right away, if they think, yeah, let's get this window open now and let's kind of just start things fresh, I guess that's the way they wanted to play it, but I wouldn't have played it that way. I think we're all in agreement on that, at least.
Yeah, so I think it's very clear that he's probably going to be getting another job based on how he's handled things. Where do you guys think a slot is open? Because I'm just trying to think of possible areas. I think the White Sox have not hired anyone yet. No, mm-hmm. that could be a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think. Maybe have the Royals fired their guy yet? Or is that new?
I don't think they have yet, but they probably will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's on the hot seat, and he's already getting everything torched up. I think yeah. it's almost out.
Angels, that seems like it could be a good one. Yeah. That spot might open if they feel like he could come in.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely areas where he could go and be able to say, okay, you know, what do we need to do here? How can we get to kind of Boston levels of success? So you have that in that front. So now I guess let's kind of move on. We have that. This is where we start to get things interesting with the playoffs. So, of course, today is September 20th. We are about 10 days away from the baseball season ending. I believe they only go until October 2nd this year.
I think that sounds right.
So it's 12 days, no, well, 13 technically, but you know.
The Mets' last game is the first. There's probably games on the second as well.
Yeah. So let's go and kind of go through things. Baltimore and Tampa Bay, after a very close series, Baltimore manages to stay at top. They could be on top, but probably they are. But that was a very close series where Tampa Bay seemed to have the lead for a bit. Baltimore is able to come in, stave off that, and keep going. Let's talk about that because that was a defining series for the AL East. Like, that was going to determine everything. Baltimore gets the win, especially with how fans are now kind of, I wouldn't say full-on revolt, but they are definitely mini revolting against Angelo's ownership of the Orioles. Luke, your thoughts?
This is one thing I touched on a lot last week, was this series was crucial in a super heated AL East race at the top there. And the Rays took the first two games pretty handily, 3-4 in the first game, 7-1 in the second game of four. And that's kind of the turning point. You see, you're kind of thinking to yourself, oh, wow, are the Rays really going to pull ahead this late with this series? And then you see Baltimore win 8-0 on Saturday and start to close that window. And then on Sunday was when they actually clinched a playoff berth in the middle of that game with a Cleveland loss. And then they ended up walking off that game in extra innings to even the series. And that's really crucial for them. And then they've gone on to win two games now against Houston, which is obviously super crucial as well, on the road as well, as even better. So they're not only just improving their playoff stock in terms of teams don't want to face them in the playoffs anymore, but they're still racing for that AL East title, and it seems like they kind of have it in their own control now. Tyler?
I completely agree. I mean, I'm kind of an Orioles bias because I have relatives who are Orioles fans. But the AL East, I've been saying it since All-Star break to myself, to my friends, that it could come down to a game 163, even with the Orioles having a two-game lead right now. But I actually want to point out a very specific start from that Orioles-Braves. I mean, from the Orioles-Rays series on Saturday. So what I was really impressed by was Grayson Rodriguez, who I believe is in his first full rookie season with the Orioles.
Playing really well this season, by the way.
I haven't seen the same thing. I've seen that Rodriguez, he had a good three or four starts to start the year, kind of fell off the next seven or eight starts, but he pitched 8 shutout innings in the last game of that series on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I think that really sparked something in Orioles fans and Orioles players to have someone who hadn't had the best couple of starts in the months of August or September to come back in an AL East determining series almost and pitch like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they can get pitching like that, especially from Rodriguez and maybe their entire pitching staff, then that could have serious playoff implications more than just looking at somebody's record.
Yeah, if he could pitch that well in a start, I mean, where he's probably going to be in the playoffs is probably a middle relief sort of spot in that smaller rotation. And if he could pitch that sort of start, I mean, he's going to be really well in that middle relief spot, like come the fifth inning. For two innings, he's going to be amazing. I mean, if you look at his past 5 starts, they've been pretty decent. I think that's kind of what I was thinking of mainly, that he's been kind of picking it up later, like you've said. He didn't have the best start to his season, but he has picked it up, which is obviously something you want to see going into the playoffs.
So I guess to kind of wrap up that talk, But Baltimore, again, kind of in their own hands. Tampa Bay is two games away from also tying with Baltimore, so something to watch as we kind of wrap up the final few weeks of the season. When it comes, though, to kind of a wild card, Tampa Bay is leading the wild card, I guess, section, you could say, when it comes to that. They are 9 games ahead ahead of Toronto. So they are most definitely they're already locked in for the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're probably going to have that top wild card seed. It looks like right now they could possibly be playing
Toronto.
Toronto, yes. They're going to be playing Toronto. So, yeah, I think they've definitely locked in things. But then let's going to get ahead and talk about someone else when it comes to kind of close standings. Again, the AL West. This is why is this division so annoying to kind of cover? Houston, they lead currently, but then you have Seattle and Texas, both half a game behind Houston.
Goodness.
Yeah, I mean, this division does not seem to quit. It's just so entertaining to watch. I mean, you see Seattle and Texas have the same record, and they're only one win behind Houston with one less game played. If you look, Seattle's on a 3-game win streak, Texas on a 2-game win streak. So these teams are really pushing to the finish here. Obviously, we brought this up last week, but Seattle has, and this starts this weekend now, is this series ending. They play Texas and then Houston and then Texas to end their season. So obviously that's going to define not even a guaranteed wild card spot for them, obviously, because they have to fight with Toronto as well. So that's really going to end their season. They're really going to have to do their own work here. And Texas, same thing. And Houston is not comfortable whatsoever. So, Tyler?
I think the AL West is starting to turn into the AL East from last year. How teams like the Yankees, Orioles, Blue Jays, and even the Rays at times all last year were mm-hmm. within a game or half a game of each other, even coming up to the last 4 games of the season. And I think, unfortunately for, let's say, Seattle, Texas, or Houston fans, depending on how the season turns out, there's going to be one disappointed fan base.
Yep.
Unless something crazy happens where Toronto loses a wild card spot, there's going to be an upset fan base in the AL West. And I think that could spark a serious playoff node for them for next year.
Yeah.
Let's say Houston, they are coming off a World Series win from this year against the Phillies, and they're looking to get back to the playoffs, be in the same situation that they are with hitters like Kyle Tucker, Yordan Alvarez, all of them. But Texas fans, they've been waiting for their opportunity to get in the playoffs. And when they signed Jacob DeGrom, they were really hoping that he would produce more before getting injured. And it's unfortunate, but people who have stepped up, like Corey Seager, who's a dark horse for the AL MVP, and Adolis Garcia, who got his first All-Star appearance this year, is playing out of his mind. He hit his 35th home run yesterday. So Texas fans are real excited. Seattle fans, coming off of breaking their drought from last year, they're looking to go back-to-back going in the playoffs, but hopefully not have their season end on a 19-inning game against the Astros again.
Yeah.
So AL West, I have no idea. I don't even have predictions for who's winning it or who's coming out of that with a wild card spot.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt it comes down to some sort of maybe game 163, but the last game of the season at 162 is no doubt going to have implications for that division, Carson.
Completely agree.
Yeah. My thoughts, those will probably be enough to wrap up before we get into our next segment. Man, can this division stop doing this division things? Why does everyone have to be so close? Again, to kind of just go and say, look, this is it's anyone's division at this point. I mean, you talk about Houston's going to be basically playing Seattle. I mean, do they play? Do they already play Seattle? Or do they play Seattle?
They play them like a week from today, I think.
Okay, so they play Seattle. They play the Rangers. It's like, this division is going to be, it's going to go down to the final day, probably. Probably wild card spots are going to get down to the final day. I'm kind of surprised no one's actually clinched their playoff spot yet, because Houston's 85-68 and Seattle and Texas are 84-68. So you're nearing playoff numbers at that point, even with such a tight division with an expanded wild card. So that's kind of I'm a little shocked there. even though
it's because of those pesky Blue Jays, Carson. They're the only team that's still in it with the same record, 4-game win streak. I mean, the Red Sox are basically eliminated from wild card. They'd have to win out. The Yankees, fortunately, Luke's not here to give them their love. They still have a chance at it, but I'm going to say that
four games away from not making it.
So you would think, oh, Texas and Seattle have an easy route, but those Blue Jays are not going away at all. So
yeah. Well, I want to say this. This will wrap up the show before we get into the next segment with what we'll talk about the NL, the National League. Again, when it comes to the AL Central, the reason we're not talking about it, there's two AL East teams in the wild card and two AL West teams in the wild card. I think that explains it. All right, we'll see you at the next segment.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And hello, everyone. Welcome back to Student Section MLB. I'm, of course, your host, Carson Keel, joined by
Luke Anderson
and Tyler Harrison
here on WVUA 90.7, the Capstone. So, guys, let's wrap up our talk tonight when it comes to the National League. Well, let's talk about how close it is for everybody, because it is insane with what is going on. So again, let's just talk about that real quick. So right now, we have Atlanta and L.A., the Dodgers. They've locked in their spots. They both got their divisions. Done deal. Milwaukee, they're hanging around. You know, they're right there. They have a pretty weak division, but Chicago is also kind of close. And let's talk about kind of the NL wild card. You have Philadelphia, 3.5 games ahead. Arizona, 1 game ahead. Then you have Chicago. Miami's 0.5 game behind. Cincinnati's 1.5 games behind. San Francisco's 3.5 games behind. And then just for funsies, you have San Diego 5 games behind. I mean, can we have a little space instead of having to wonder down to the literal last second, seemingly, who is going to win a spot in the playoffs? Because ridiculous. This is completely ridiculous.
I would have to agree with you. I mean, Carson, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's every day you look at the wild card standings, it's a different team in that last spot. Chicago's in it right now, but Miami could be in it tomorrow. Cincinnati could be in it 3 days from now, and you'll never know. I mean, Arizona's on a 5-game win streak. If you looked at the standings a week ago, they were trailing, and it was Chicago and Miami, and Cincinnati was in there. The Giants are still kind of in there. They're at 500 right now. I remember at the end of last season, I saw a funny stat that last season was like the first time that San Francisco, the Giants franchise, had finished at 500 ever. They're there right now, and they were in the wild card 2 weeks ago. If you looked at it 2 weeks ago, the Giants were probably in that second spot, and now it doesn't even look like they're going to make it at all. So it's something to follow every day, day after day. If you blink, something will change. And it's going to be really interesting to see a week from now on our next show what happens then, because the Cubs, Marlins, and Reds are all at 79 wins. They just have played a different amount of games. So we're going to have to see when the Cubs play those extra games and the Marlins play those extra games. Really going to have to see. Only time can tell. Tyler?
I completely agree. Now, I know y'all are saying it's ridiculous, but I really like not knowing what teams I get to watch play baseball that first week of October. It makes it fun for me. But I want to add on what teams I think are going to make the wild card. So San Francisco, they are only 3.5 games behind. I don't think they make it. End of. Arizona, I think at the rate that they're going, absolutely will make it, because I know we were talking about it earlier before the show started. Corbin Carroll today became the first rookie ever with 25 home runs and 50 stolen bases in a single season. Let it be known, he is 10 stolen bases and 5 home runs away from only the second ever 30-60 season, the first of which was done this year by Ronald Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
Corbin won't get 5 home runs and 11 stolen bases. I mean, and 10 stolen bases in the 11 games they have left. But still, that is extreme development in his first full rookie season.
And kid's 23. I mean, he's insane. Oh, absolutely. He's insane.
He's not even old enough to rent a car, and he's doing stuff like this. I know, it's ridiculous. I love watching this. So Arizona, like I said, I think absolutely makes it. Team's still in contention. Cincinnati, I think I can't really make a decision based off of it. I think it's 50-50 because Andrew Abbott, I know he need. I mean, he's doing well. The Reds just need to keep the pace that they were at. I mean, the way I can describe it is when Ellie De La Cruz came into the league, the Reds were on an absolute tear. I think they won 13 straight games. It was double-digit something.
Yeah.
I think the Cubs are almost set to make it. Milwaukee is 6 games ahead in their standings. They're going to win the division. But the Cubs have great pitching. Justin Steele is a Cy Young contender right now. I believe Adbert Alzolay is doing well as a relief pitcher. Mm-hmm. Cody Bellinger, everyone missed 2017 Cody Bellinger, and they got him in Chicago this year. So everyone's having a great time over there.
Yep.
As long as you're a Cubs fan, not White Sox. I think the Cubs are doing pretty well, especially Christopher Morel, too. I think Cubs are set. Miami, I think with the Mets being up on them right now, and with them having to play NL East games for the rest of the season, being Philadelphia and Atlanta, I believe, I don't think the Marlins make it. Even though they swept my Atlanta Braves just a couple days ago.
Shush.
we got outscored by triple our score in the 3 games. It was terrible to watch. The Marlins hadn't had a single grand slam hit all year, and then Jazz Chisholm hit 2 in a 16-hour span. That's upsetting. But I think with the Marlins being in the NL East and how competitive that is, especially with Atlanta and Philly kind of running it right now, I don't believe the Marlins make it.
That's an interesting statement because here's the problem. I know I just said shush to the news, but Atlanta has not been playing great the past few days, or let's say week.
A tale as old as time.
Yeah. As soon as we win the division, goes bottoms up. And remember on the show, for the past 2 shows, I have said that is my fear as a Braves fan.
Yep.
This is going to happen because this team is playing so good. I think there's a chance Miami makes it. I think that with how bad the Braves are playing at the moment, unless like Atlanta all of a sudden feels like, oh, we're just going to destroy this team because we need to get something back that – maybe Philadelphia, I feel like there's a good chance, unless they really slip also.
Yeah.
They're set. Arizona, they're really close to being right there with Chicago on the bubble. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say that they're set, but there's a chance. It's a pretty high chance that they're going to make it in. Unlike the AL, we're going to see a diverse sampling of playoff teams for once. that's exciting. Though I do want to say I find it very interesting with Milwaukee. They kind of had a pull through because it was Cincinnati leading a week ago or so, and then
Cincinnati was leading, Chicago was leading. That division was up for grabs like a month ago, and now they've kind of just taken the wheel themselves.
Which is really interesting to see. I wonder how that's going to come to the playoffs because right now it looks like they would be playing. Let's see, the winner
right
of,
now it would be the Cubs.
Right, yeah. So they'd be playing the winner of the Cubs, and then Philly and Arizona will be playing each other.
Yep.
So, you know, that again, that's an intra-division kind of game.
Yeah.
We'll see how that kind of plays out right there. I'm really interested to see, especially what happens with the NL number one seed with Atlanta, because again, you have LA kind of sitting right there. You have the Braves playing poorly. I think that's something that should be watched because. If Atlanta, who knows? Again, in 2021, the Braves finished the season up horribly,
mm-hmm.
ended up getting hot for the playoffs. So that maybe we're seeing something similar. Who knows? Maybe that's me coping a little bit right now.
A little
there.
Bit, but
yeah, a little cope. A little cope.
Because the opposite happened last year. We
we
won the World Series, winning 88 games, and then we lost in the second round, winning 101 games.
Yeah.
After being down in the division 14.5 games at one point.
Yep.
So I'm hoping for a bounce back with Atlanta. I think we obviously hit triple digit wins. I mean, there's not a great chance we don't hit triple digits, but like Carson said, like. We are unfortunately prone to knowing. I think it is very likely that number one seed could still be up to grabs in the last couple of days of the season.
Yeah, Dodgers on a 5-game win streak.
Man.
Now, who do the Dodgers play to wrap up everything? I'm thinking about the Braves.
I'll check that for you right now.
We play Miami, of course.
They're playing Detroit right now. They're
Free wins.
And then so they play. Oh wow, San Francisco, Colorado, San Francisco.
Okay.
Oh my god.
I'd be worried if I were you guys. I really would be.
Yeah. Who's Atlanta? I think Atlanta's playing the Phillies one more time.
Atlanta plays.
Nationals twice. Washington,
Chicago, Cubs, Washington. That's not too hard either.
Yeah, that's wins.
So, I mean, I don't know. Last week I was here saying that I don't know if the Dodgers would win 100 games. I didn't realize that the end of their schedule is pretty easy, and they're on a 5-game win streak. So the Dodgers might win 100 games. I mean, it will be hard. There's not many games to play.
No, but, hang on. Is that series against Colorado, is that 2-game, 3-game, or 4-game?
For the Dodgers, it is 3. Or no, it's 4. It's a doubleheader and then 2 games.
That's free wins.
It is in Coors, which actually probably helps the Dodgers too.
Man.
So
yeah, it's over.
We'll have to see where that plays out. But I mean, either way, the Braves do have a bye in the first round of the playoffs.
This
which
is going to be a special type of show next week when we determine, because is it? Next week we've got 3 games left in the season. When
next
we come back
week,
here.
Next week's show is going to be a good one. So
all right.
Well, I think that gives you a good preview of why you should tune back in next week, 7 o'clock here on WVUA 90.7. I've been your host Carson Keel, joined by
Luke Anderson
and Tyler Harrison.
We'll see you guys next week, same time, same place. Until then, stay safe.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.